Save big on all your Halloween needs, all in the Kroger app. Get juicy red, green, or black seedless grapes for 99 cents a pound. Then get tender USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Well, good morning to you. It's 908 on KDXU. We've got St. George Police Department's finest here. Now, these are the people in the house here who you're probably going to hear their voice first when an emergency happens. It's the St. George dispatchers. Now, with me is Annalee Stoker. Annalee is sister-in-law to the fire chief, right? Okay, welcome, Annalee. Julie Packer is over here. Julie is a senior level 3 dispatcher. Is that right? Did I get it right?
It is, yes.
Okay, cool. So get a little closer to that mic so we can hear you.
Yes,
that's
right.
There we go. And then Brayton Tobler is a level 2 dispatcher. Now, I don't know. I guess that's not as good as level 3 yet or not.
Just yeah, he's a little bit newer. A little bit newer.
Okay. Yeah.
Still a baby.
So you might be better than her. You're just not newer than her, right?
I guess, yeah.
Okay. Now, you guys, don't be shy on that microphone. Get right up to it. Talk straight into it when it's your turn. Let's get to know you guys a little bit first. Let's start with Annalee. Annalee is a training supervisor. Is that right?
That's right.
Did I leave anything out on that?
Nope. I do all the hiring and training for dispatch.
Okay. So someone comes in. I mean, what qualification? If you're looking to hire somebody, do they have to have a degree? Do they have to have phone interaction experience? What?
No, we can hire anyone as long as you have a high school diploma or GED. You're okay. Over the age of 18 and you can pass a background check. We can hire anyone. We can train anyone to do our job as long as you can type and pass the critical testing, which we do in the hiring process.
So they take a little test.
Yep, they take a test that just tests their typing speed and how they can listen to things being told to them and type them out at the same time, because that is a big part of our job.
So do you have to weed a few people? You get a few people in there and they just can't do
it? So that's the critical testing is part of the hiring process, and it does weed those out that aren't able to do that or not at a certain level that we feel like is a good level for us to bring somebody in that can keep up with the job, because it is a fast-paced job. We want people to be able to type fast enough, you know, that when they're hearing things, they can type it out. And if you're typing 12 words per minute, I think it might be a little difficult that way. So
I type really fast, but I make a lot of typos. So mine might end up 12 words once you edit out all the typos. But do you ever, and I know these are sensitive times and you can't judge a book by its cover or discriminate or anything like that. But are there times, Annalee, when you go, you look at someone, you go, yeah, they're not going to make it.
I don't feel like we've, the way that we've restructured our hiring process, I don't feel like we have done that. I think anybody that we bring in, we want them to succeed. And so whatever means that has for us to help them succeed, we'll help them in whatever way we can. So I don't feel like we ever say, oh, no, they're not going to make it. I think that just kind of sets us up and them up for failure. And so I think just making sure that we're giving them every opportunity to succeed and giving them every tool that they can succeed with, I think is great for us to do.
We have such a variety of people. Like, we've got the really young, we have kind of the middle age and all, like, and they all come from all different backgrounds, which I think is so fun. And they all bring different things to the job, that different points of view and things. So Annalee does a great job at getting us the best of the best hired and getting them through that training process.
Now, I always ask people this, Annalee, that hire people. Have you found the younger generation, say people 18 to 24 right now, have you found that they lack a work ethic, or is that something old people say just because because they're old?
I think it's a mix. There's some people that I have seen that lack that drive. I guess I would say drive.
Drive, okay.
But then, like, we've hired quite a few in the younger age bracket that are great employees, and they have that drive and they're go-getters, and I think it's great. So I think it just depends on on maybe backgrounds and things like that, mm-hmm. and how bad badly they want the job and to succeed. So
when you hire people, when you're looking to hire someone, do you ask them why do you want to be a dispatcher?
Because
I'm curious about that, because that you guys experience a lot of pressure. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, when you're it may be someone calling because a dog's barking at 3 a.m., but it also may be someone calling because their spouse cut their finger off and they're bleeding, and you guys need to tell them how to stop it. So what's the overwhelming reason why people give?
People just want to help the community. And I think this is a great way to help the community and not be right in it. If they don't want to be like a police officer and hands-on and things like that, I mean, this is a great way to help the community and to give something back, just helping people and things like that.
I will say this, and I have felt, and I am an old guy, I have felt the younger generation doesn't have the drive, but I have also seen in the younger generation much more of what you're talking about, where they want to give back, they want to help, they want to, you know, I mean, I have a son who went into school psychology because he wanted to help kids in school to deal with stress and anxiety. That was his whole goal, and I'm like, wait, your goal isn't to get rich, to make money, to retire? No, my goal is to help people.
Dispatch doesn't do that. It won't make you rich.
No.
Yeah. It's the drive to help the community. And I think that's essentially what we all love about the job, is being able to help. If it's one call, one thing, if I can help one officer be better at his job, if I can help the ambulance get there and get directions to them for a call, or help the fire department with something, you know, it's just helping no matter who it is. So that's why I do the job.
Okay. I did want to ask a minute about Anna Lee herself. Where did you grow up here? Are you from here?
So I moved here when I was 5. So basically grew up here, have been here basically my whole life. So
which high school did you go to?
Snow Canyon High School.
Okay. She's a warrior.
Warrior. And my daughter's a warrior. So, I mean, it's nice. Great. She has some of the same teachers I have.
You're way too young to have a daughter in high school. Come on now.
She's a grandma, for the record.
Yeah. Oh, really? I would never have guessed that.
Thank you.
I would never have guessed
that.
I'm impressed. I'm a grandpa too, but I look like a grandpa. So, all right, let's turn over to Julie Packer. Now, are you from here, Julie?
No, I originally grew up in Salt Lake. So I moved here after college to go to Dixie State back in the day, and actually came down to go to nursing school and wanted to kind of just get a job to go through school, and ended up finding dispatch and fell in love with it. Nice. And switched my major really fast and went into law enforcement, criminal justice.
Wow.
And have been in it ever since for 13 years. Married my husband. He's from Santa Clara. They don't leave Santa Clara if they grew up there. Fun fact. So we are in Santa Clara forever.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Which I love. I love it. It's so fun.
Great town, Santa Clara.
It is.
Does your husband have Swiss roots?
He does not. No. He's one of the few. Because
usually Santa Clara, you just think about, you know, the Espens and Hafens and all those with the Swiss
fries.
Yes. The fries.
There's many of them. We love them all, though. They're great. They're all great friends. So.
Now, you're a senior level 3 dispatcher. To explain to us what that means.
It just means I'm old, and I've been there forever. I've been there for 13 years, like I said. So
you've seen a lot, though, as a dispatcher.
Yep. I've been there. Annalie's been here longer than me. She's at 20 years, so she's got more than I do, but I definitely have had my fair share of every kind of call you can imagine. I was thinking about it this morning. I'm like, I think I've heard everything, but we always say that, and then it's like, well, that's a first for that one. So it's fun.
My wife and I like to watch those, you know, 20, 48 hours, whatever, murder mystery things, and they almost always will play the original 911 call when something happens.
Yeah.
And one thing that I was noticing over and over again, whoever calls, they're usually crying and barely understandable.
Yeah.
How have you been able to develop the skills to understand these people? Because when I hear them calling, I have no idea what they're saying.
No, we actually do trainings. We go through trainings, stress management, calming techniques, things like that. We're constantly doing continuing education hours, so we're always trying to find the latest and greatest trainings and podcast things to listen to as our center, just to kind of help callers through that. Obviously, it takes a special person to be a dispatcher, and
it does.
To be able to listen to it and stay focused and grounded in yourself while helping somebody else through that. So we have techniques. We say things, repetitive persistence, you know, Andy, stop and take a breath. Andy, listen to me. And you'll hear us say your name. Like, we'll try and get your name really fast to kind of ground you and bring you back to earth. Like, people don't realize that they're often in a traumatic moment, and we just have to find different ways like to kind of bring them back into reality and help them through the crisis that they're in.
So. You oftentimes will get a person at maybe the worst moment of their life up to that point. Yeah. And you have to...
Their worst day is our every day, is kind of the slogan in the 911 world, is your worst day is our every day, and we just get to help you through that, so...
That seems like that would wear on you after a while. You know, I've talked with police officers and firefighters and EMS, and they say, look, we kind of have to put what we saw, what we experienced, in a little box over to the side while we do our job.
Right.
And then maybe we can open the box later and deal with, you know, finding a dead body or child, whatever it is. Do you guys have to kind of do the same thing? Go,
absolutely.
Okay, the emotion is out of it. I've got to do a job.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like I said, it takes a special person, and we get people that go through training and get to a certain point and they haven't had that hard traumatic call yet, and then they take their first one and they realize it's not for them because they can't get past that. So it definitely takes a personality, a certain person to be able to compartmentalize that and to be able to still do it. Because while you're on the phone with a caller, you're typing and you're listening to the radio traffic and you're talking to your other dispatchers. I mean, we multitask with the best of them. And so it definitely does have to be a special person to be able to do that. And then once the call's over, if you need a minute, you can step away. But sometimes you can't. You just have to go right to the next call. And you don't know what that next call is, which is kind of the crazy part, is you may go from a traumatic gunshot victim to a barking dog and about 30 seconds.
Well, and the nice thing is we're employed through the city, and the city has great benefits for counseling and things like that. And our department, our police department, has been really focused on mental wellness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's a great thing that we have as dispatch, is that we have those tools at our hands. If we do take these hard calls, we can get help, and they have that free for us. So,
right. And we've got such a great department. Everybody supports everybody. We've got a peer support team within dispatch. So if you see somebody or hear somebody take that hard call, we're all really close, I feel like, and understand kind of what it can do. And everybody has their own triggers, especially like for me, my son, for example, had a seizure a few years ago, and my first seizure call coming back kind of like struck me in a way.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my goodness, I wasn't prepared to answer a call that, like, I've taken a million seizure calls in my career, and they've never bugged me until it was something that happened to me personally. So we just kind of all help each other through that. And hey, are you good? You know, can I take your air or your channel and step away? So we're really lucky in our department. I don't know if every agency is like that, but we definitely are on the good side of things. So.
All right, let's talk with Brayton for just a minute. Brayton Tobler. Isn't that a Santa Clara name too, Tobler?
We escaped, actually.
Oh, okay.
From the Santa Clara, you know, wall.
You got out, did you?
We got out. So I grew up actually in Mesquite, just down the road.
Okay.
And it wasn't until probably three or four years ago, my wife and I moved to Washington, and that's kind of where we're at right now, and we love it up here. So we would spend our Saturdays up here going to the mall and, doing all the things that the
But you're a Virgin
did.
Valley Bulldog, huh?
Yep, I'm a Virgin Valley Bulldog.
Nice. Well, we're glad you're here. Tell me, I was going to comment to her, and I thought, no, this would be a better question for you. It seems like to me, maybe more than 90% of the time you make a 911 call, it's a female voice you hear. But Brayton's here to say it's not just girls doing it, right?
Yes, we do have, we actually have probably around four or five different male operators, I would say.
No goodness.
Maybe. I can't think of the exact number, but we do have a few male operators. And it's funny because whenever we pick up the phone, people always, I guess, confuse us with officers just because they hear the male voice and they think it's an officer.
Yeah.
And so, being a male dispatcher in this field is different, definitely, because you have that, I don't want to say, you know, upper hand, because it's not necessarily an upper hand. People will sometimes shut off to your voice when they hear a male voice on the line, but sometimes they'll keep that calmness because they hear that authority almost. But I would say it's different for sure. People don't expect it all the times.
It's interesting that you address the fact that, you know, I mean, the gender for a lot of people does matter. I mean, I just, in my own life, I've experienced, my daughters-in-law, that they respond much better to my wife being a female than they do to me. And it's not that I'm being bossy. It's not that I'm trying to tell them what to do. It's just that I'm a guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, 100%. And I think, especially when we have those callers you were talking about earlier, the ones that are just crying on the phones and they're very hard to hear. If I tell the person, you know, okay, take a deep breath, like, we're trying to get you help, it doesn't have that same effect that, say, you know, if Julie or Anna Lee said, okay, take a deep breath, we're trying to help you. You know, it's that motherly love is definitely there when they speak, and it's, you know, it's different when I speak, so.
But it can help you at times, too, more of an authoritative sound, right?
Yes, yeah, it definitely does, especially when we get aggravated callers. We get those, too. We get very angry people that like to call in just to call in and take up time, but... Yeah, it definitely helps.
So. Yeah. This guy was riding an electric bike on the sidewalk. Come on. Right? Am I close on? Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
That's true. That's very true.
And you guys get such a wide scope of calls. I mean, from stuff that really shouldn't be 911 calls to, you know, gunshot wound or murder or something like that. How do you prepare on a day? I mean, do you go to work going, I wonder what today's going to be like, if I'm going to get killers, if I'm going
to
get...
You try not to wonder, because then you just go to bad places.
You don't think about it. Okay.
Every day.
Yeah, I would say everybody's a little different. For me personally, one thing that I like to try to do, obviously, is physical health and just maintaining, you know, going to the gym. I'm active religiously, so I try to go to church. I say my prayers, you know, things like that. Nice. That tends to help, just kind of getting yourself out of that. We talked about, you know, compartmentalizing and having that box, putting things in the box. It's important to actually address that box.
Yeah.
You know, because that box will overfill and it kind of spills out at times. And so it's important to address that.
That's actually, as you say that, it reminds me, I had a police officer on once and he was like, that's why you see a lot of, unfortunately, mental illness later in lives, and even suicide with former emergency personnel, because they never do really open the box. They put all that stuff in there, and then someday it's gonna spill over. It's gonna get you. And
it does.
Yeah.
If you don't deal with it, and that's when, you know. I've also heard that there are a lot more family issues, domestic problems with police officers, and I assume dispatcher, the career that you guys are in, is that true, and is it associated with the same thing?
I would say for me and my wife, you know, we're still a young couple. Oftentimes we get called into work, we have sick call outs, and we have to show up. You know, it's not one of those things where you can just put off and say, oh, someone else is going to take care of it.
Yeah. No, someone has to be
someone
there
has to be
answering
there.
The 911 calls.
Yeah. That causes some stress sometimes, familial stress. But I don't know necessarily domestic violence per se. I don't think so.
My wife or no, maybe officers are different, but dispatch, I don't think so. I don't know. No.
I feel like there has to be a good communication balance in your marriage, in this line of work. I think there has to be that understanding that we could get called in at a moment's notice. Those that have had, like, I've been through a divorce, you know, being a dispatcher, and I think it's just, there just wasn't that communication there, and so there wasn't an understanding, and, I mean, there were other things also, but I just feel like maybe... I think a majority of us are great in our marriage, and I think we all have open communication with our spouse, and I think that's what is important too. I don't think we've ever had anyone that's had like domestic violence issues that's been called in or anything like that, but
I don't think so. Yeah.
It's interesting. There's not a lot of flexibility, it sounds like, as far as your job. They need you, period. It's kind of that way in radio, too. I mean, maybe not quite as serious of topics as you guys get, but I can't just not show up, or right. I can't say, well, I'm not coming in. You know, I've got to be here to answer the bell. My wife, on the other hand, she has a job in which she could, you know, she can leave early. She can go to, you know, something during the day if she needs to. She could miss a day if she had to. And that's not to diminish what she does, but it's a lot more flexible than what you guys are talking about.
Yeah. And our center, like I said, we're all good. Like, if we've got a sick kid or somebody, you know, then I feel like everybody tries our best to really help cover if they need a day or to sign off or something like that. We're really lucky to help each other. But it is hard. We have to be there, and we have to have staffing. We can't go below minimum staffing because the calls don't stop just because we're not there. I mean,
sorry, we don't have enough people today.
Yeah, it's hard because we get those 911 calls, and you never know. It could be a really slow day, and then an hour later, we've got 911s that are just blown up, and that means our non-emergency lines have to hold a little bit longer, which our sender is so great at trying to answer things quickly and efficiently, and it kills our souls to not be able to get to those lines fast as we want to, but we try just to keep those 911. So I feel like we're really good about helping each other out to be there when we need to be. So
yeah, you were talking about getting to calls fast. I thought, you know, the thing about it is people that make frivolous 911 calls, you know, the kid riding an electric bike on the sidewalk or whatever, the dog barking, if they would only understand, and this is probably a frustration of yours, if they'd only understand that they're taking up personnel, they're taking up your time when you could, you know, there could be someone who's really in an emergency that right. You guys can't get to.
Yeah.
Because you're helping
well, that
else.
And it ties up a 911 line for somebody too that really does have an emergency, because mm-hmm. we only have a number of emergency numbers that are available for people to use for 911 before it rolls to a different center. So if somebody's calling in with a frivolous thing like that on 911, then it does take up that line. So
this is somebody that might be an emergency to them, and we'll tell you, please hold or please call back on a non-emergency number. So we try not to discredit them, because to them that might be the emergency if they need the sidewalk and that person is riding a bike on the sidewalk. So we try hard not to discredit them, but we do have to sometimes tell people to get off our 911 lines.
So. Now, you guys are dispatched for the whole county, right?
Yep.
So if I'm in Leverkin mm-hmm. and I have an emergency, I dial 911. It's going to come to you guys.
Yeah. Correct. So our agency is actually pretty big. So we go all the way up to New Harmony, clear down to the state line to the right before the gorge, all the way up to Old 91 if you're going the back way to Mesquite, all the way up to Zion National Park.
Wow.
And we do dispatch for Zion National after hours.
So Zion or Springdale yeah. out there, all you over. Guys are getting those calls. So.
Apple Valley Enterprise.
Wow. Yeah,
we're Enterprise. A pretty big
Enterprise, agency. Yep. Anything yeah. up along the SR-18 corridor from here, you know, through Diamond, Dameron, Bayo, Enterprise is the limit. Though for that,
when you get a call, do you know immediately where it's coming from as far as like what area?
So yes and no. The system's not perfect, so there are some times where we get a caller, say, you know, up on Gooseberry Mesa out by, you know, Apple Valley area, where the service isn't, you know, 100% good.
It's spotty,
or even
yeah.
yeah, it's very spotty. But there are times where we use a couple different softwares in our center that kind of help us cover that gap in case there is, you know, a need and we can't actually talk to the person on the phone. We can try to update our location as much as we can to try to get that GPS coordinate as accurate as possible. And sometimes it can get as accurate within a meter or so.
Wow.
One of the software systems that we use, it updates every couple of minutes as well. So we'll get callers that, you know, are calling and somebody speeding down the freeway and they're cutting people off and things like that. We can actually see on the camera as well that vehicle going down the freeway from the caller's point of view anyways. And so
amazing. Yeah.
But when that system doesn't work, that's when we really rely, you know, that's why we ask, what is the address to your emergency? Because that system, like I said, isn't 100%.
So it's kind of when you ask someone the address, mm-hmm. You probably already know, but not for sure. And so
correct.
You need, you want them to confirm at the very least.
Yeah.
Technology is okay. So cool. Like he said, the system we use, it's called Rapid SOS, and it can tell us what part of a building you're in. It can tell us your elevation. Wow. So we can tell kind of like what floor level you're on. And like you said, it's not perfect, but it's a lot better than it used to be a while ago. Mm-hmm. So, usually we know we've got a pretty good, I'd say high percentage rate of being able to tell us where you are and getting help. And our center is, I don't want to brag, but we are very good at our jobs and finding and getting people out. We just can get those calls put in before we even really know what's going on to yeah. get a quicker response. And then we can kind of work with that person and get them help and resources quickly.
I will say this. There are certain areas where we want you to brag. We want the best dispatchers in the country right here.
There's not a single person in our center that if I didn't call, I wouldn't trust with my own emergency. And I say that very proudly. Annalie's got a training program that teaches them from the get-go. And like I said, imagine if that was you calling in and how would you handle that call and that emergency. And so we are really good at finding people. we're called the mini detectives because
part-time
we help
detectives.
Our part-time detectives because yeah. we are really good at helping our officers and first responders find those people, whether it be suspects or people just in an emergency that need help, that need extra
resources.
All right, I've got to pay some bills here, so we're going to take a break. When we come back, Brayton, Anna Lee, and Julie. I got it, right? I didn't look at you. Notice I did not look at my notes.
You did great.
But we're talking with St. George Dispatch, actually Washington County Dispatch. You guys are, you get the whole county covered. So, and we'll be right back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
Hey, good morning, everybody. 9:36 on KDXU. We're talking with St. George Dispatch. Anna Lee, Julie, and Brayton are here. And, gosh, you know, the more I think about your job, I don't want to stroke your egos too much, but you guys are you're the front line. You're first. We talk about first responders. You guys are as first as it gets because you're getting the phone call that starts anything from a house fire to, you know, a gunshot wound to a traffic accident. Whatever it is, you guys find out about it first. Yeah. Wow.
Yep.
No pressure, but you gotta.
We do. We are the first responders. We kind of have to be able to triage and get those resources out faster than anybody realizes.
Yeah, so. one of our mottos actually at the center is second save lives. True. we try, that's why we spend all this time on our training. Our training program, which I mean Annalise kinda already touched on, you know, is it can take up to a year long, and we cover almost every scenario you can think of with the trainee while they're going through their training, just for that, so that we can help them be as fast as possible because we are the first responders.
I'm not going to lie. Last time, I don't know if any of you guys were on last time, but Anna Lee was. But I, after the show was over, I was like, man, that sounds kind of cool. I want to do that, you know. And I've obviously have a job already, but having your job really sounds like, I mean, it does fulfill that need of I want to help. I want to be a part of something that's bigger than just myself. So
absolutely,
that's cool. Let's talk a minute about CORE community outreach. I don't know if you want to talk about that, Julie.
It's kind of my baby. I saw, after being in the profession for 13 years, like I said, a lot of people don't realize that dispatchers are real and we're human, and that there's an actual person.
It's not a computer. It's not a AI generated voice.
No, it's really not. And I wanted to be able to get the community to realize that we are real and we can, what's the word? Correlate with you guys. And so I helped create what's called the Community Outreach Recruitment Education team. It's a CORE team for dispatch. So we are able to, we've started going to community events. We've started kind of reaching out and being a part of different things. And one this week, actually, if you want to come and meet us in person, we'll be at the Mathis Park with the city meet and greet. Yeah. It's 5 to 7 p.m., and we just want to meet people and show you what we do and explain how we do it, answer any questions. I think everybody thinks that dispatch is just for emergencies, and it's not. We get some people on their best day. I mean, we deliver babies.
That's pretty cool.
It's not always traumatic, and so we want to help celebrate the wins with people, too, not just the losses or the trauma. So we just want people to realize that we're real and be educated when they do call 911. Obviously, there are certain questions we have to ask. So we just want people to be able to understand the process and who's on the other end of the line and show that we're right there with you and we're human and we hear and see and feel everything you hear and see and feel.
Nice. So Thursday night, Mathis Park, which is off of Dixie Drive.
Yep.
And all the St. George City, like the department heads and leaders will be there, and you guys will have like a booth or
we'll have our booth set up. We'll be there. Me and Brayton will be there and we'll be able to just answer any questions and kind of show you a little bit about what we do and just kind of be there with you. So.
That is cool. Now, one of the things I wanted to do, and we're running short on time, we only have 20 minutes left, but I did want to talk about some of the things that people believe, or I'm not going to call them myths because I think most of them are actually fairly accurate, but about when you call 911. So, Brayton, we'll start with you.
Okay.
The very first thing out of, I call 911, I'm distraught, I'm upset, something's going on. What's the first thing I'm going to hear?
911, what's the address to your emergency? That's
really?
That's the first thing.
Not what's the emergency or what's going on, but what's the address?
Yes. We need to know where to send people so that while we're trying to assess what's going on, we can actually at least have people on the way. You know, because as much as we like to think that, you know, we're going to solve an issue, we're just there to kind of help calm it enough to where those that are actually responding can help finish and, you know, clean up whatever's left.
So at that point, I called you 911. You say, what's the address? I give you the address. I'm still distraught and upset. I don't know if we want to make up a make believe emergency. But, maybe I cut my hand while I was cutting meat and I'm bleeding all over.
Yeah.
At that point, then what do I hear? What's the next thing?
So you might be surprised, but the next thing that we'll ask you is your phone number.
Really?
And we ask you for your phone number because
even though you might be looking at it on the screen already,
even though we might be looking at it, we need you for one to confirm because not everybody calls on their own cell phone. So we just need one to call back on. So in case the line drops, we can still get, you know, in contact with you and we can still try to help you while help is on the way.
Yeah.
And then other times we get calls from people that don't have service, you know, people that don't actually have a cell provider. They call from Wi-Fi, they call from their Wi-Fi or whatever.
Facebook Messenger or whatever.
Facebook Messenger.
Connected cell phones.
Yep. And those we can't necessarily call back on unless you give us a phone number. And so the second thing we ask you is for your phone number.
Okay, so at that point, you still haven't even asked me about the emergency yet, but you have my address and phone number, hopefully, if you could understand me through all the blubbering. Right? Are you then, at this point, already dispatching someone to the location, or are you still waiting to find out what's going on?
As soon as I have your address, if you're screaming or you're you know, blubbling or whatever, I can put in a call technically. I can still send help. But the next thing I'll ask you is tell me exactly what's happening.
Okay.
And even within the first 3-4 words that you say, I have a good enough idea of what's happening so that I can hurry and what we call nature the call. Every call has what a nature.
Yeah.
And so we'll put that in. And as soon as that goes in, the help is already on the way. And then any other question that we have afterwards is per our protocol that has been, you know, worked on, curated, created, whatever, you know, revised from our administration, you know, Anna Lee and our head boss over there. So,
and there's certain things that we ask in questions, like you said, those questions for protocol. It's for several different reasons. There's officer safety issues, there's paramedic things that kind of tells our officers how and when or where to go and how to get there. We are pretty bossy. We tell officers how and when to go and how to get there.
And how do they feel about that, Julie?
All in the best way, though. In the best way. They call us control for a reason. But, yeah, like he said, there's questions that we ask per protocol for reasons. So we're just not making them up or kind of flying off the handle. There's a reason why we have revised those questions to specifically what they need to be.
Yeah. So. All right, let's go to Julie now, and then we'll get to Annalie in a minute. Okay, so at this point, you've got my name. Maybe not. Actually, you haven't asked my name, have you? Maybe
no.
The first name, but you've got the address, you've got the phone number, and you've just learned the nature of the emergency. What's the next step?
So, like we said, so we have call takers in our center who will just answer the phone that day. We switch every day, so they'll just specifically be on the process. And so, once we get that nature and that call put into our system, it pushes to our dispatchers, and then that dispatcher will take that call and send the appropriate responders, whether it's police, fire, medical, and then they'll be talking with those resources and those agencies and getting them the help they need, whether it's, you know, we're telling them who they're going out on, if it's a suspect that we know has a weapon history or drug history or alcohol history, or we need to send our mobile crisis team for a mental health emergency, or if it's something bigger and we need to send SWAT or things like that.
So you ask specifically at that point, okay, you know, are there weapons? Is there a vicious dog? Is there...
Everything. And a lot of people get frustrated because they don't want to answer those questions to them. It's just send help now. And we kind of...
Meanwhile, there's a guy in the closet with a shotgun.
Yes.
You know?
And so we try to help do scene safety questions. We help the victim or the person calling in, or it might be first party where they're the ones with the gun.
Yeah.
And we kind of have to help mitigate that in crisis intervention with them until officers or first responders are able to get on scene to kind of take over that scene. So we do help de-escalate situations significantly by the time those first responders even get there. And kind of help just calm things down as best as we can and get them on their first responders the information they need so they know what they're walking into. Our job is to also help those first responders get home at the end of the day. So the questions we ask is to help keep everybody safe.
So we had, I'm sure you guys remember, but for the listeners, remember the guy driving around with the kid hostage, and sniper ended up having to shoot him out in the desert. It almost feels chaotic. The guy's calling in himself. People are probably calling in about, you know, this crazy guy driving. The mom of the kid probably called in, freaked out and everything. How do you sort all that out and get it to the right people so they know what to do?
We just, it's our system, and we work closely with each other in the center. We're all sitting pretty close next to each other with our computers, and we just are a smooth sailing machine. Like, hey, you've got this, I'll do this, I'll call him, I've got this, I'll page SWAT. You know, we all play our part, and it's just a well-oiled machine in there, and everybody helps everybody. And if it's your channel that's going to crap and you're just trying to help keep everybody where they need to be, then everyone in our center helps out.
Yeah, one thing we joke about in the center is situational awareness. So if, you know, phones are going crazy, or, you know, we have a call taker in the center that's starting to raise their voice a little bit, all our ears will perk up and we'll start listening, because we all just kind of pitch in and start helping out whenever we can, because we know what resources are needed depending on the answers that we're getting from those questions we're asking. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so because of those questions, we can have 3-4 different people calling different resources all at the same time to help mitigate, like Julie was saying, that a little quicker for the caller.
Okay, let me ask Annalie a couple of questions now. I just got a text from somebody, and I was actually thinking the same thing. What if I were to call and hang up multiple times, or call and stay silent? Would you know what to do? Let's say someone is in my house and I have to stay quiet.
So a common thing that people aren't aware of, if you aren't able to talk, you can text 911. We do have the capabilities of being able to text 911. So if there's somebody in your home, you can text us. The slogan they use is call if you can, text if you can't. At that point, I mean, if you're calling on a cell phone, you're calling 911, you've called multiple times, we do send officers on 911 hangups. So if you're calling in and you're hanging up, more than likely we're already sending an officer to your residence or wherever your call is. But we also, through Rapid SOS, we do have the capabilities of texting through that as well. So if people call in and that pops up, their technology, we can send a text to your phone to text if there is somebody there too that way. So we send people on 911 hangups and try to call back and things like that.
I was going to say, I know this for a fact because I have a 4-year-old grandson. Yes. Who dialed 911 once.
Yes.
And you guys called back and says everything is okay. And I can't remember if an officer came by or not. Might have. I don't remember. But that's embarrassing for someone who doesn't have an emergency to have a little kid dial. You're like, oh, I'm so
kids
sorry.
Kids do it all the time. People don't realize disconnected cell phones still call 911. So if, like, you've got a new phone and you give it to your kid to play games, give your
It'll
old phone, it still calls
911.
Yeah. And we see a lot of those with, you know, domestic violence victims who don't have access to a cell phone. They have that phone just for that emergency. So we do send on all 911s if we can and have good location.
Is it a way, should they not do that? Or, I mean, I guess if you save one life, it's worth it, right?
Yes.
All the little kids calling accidentally, it's worth it.
Yeah, we do confirm. I mean, if we call and it's a mom and she say, oh, goodness, I'm so sorry, it was just my child, and we can confirm it was a child playing on the phone. We try not to send an officer. We don't want to scare anybody. But if we can confirm there's no emergency, we won't send. But the majority of them we do send on. So.
Very cool. All right. I want to get, I got one more commercial break I got to get in, but I do want to ask each of you, maybe if you have one 911 story that sticks out in your mind when we come back from this commercial break.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Good morning, I'm Andy. We're talking with a dispatch specialist for the St. George Police Department. Actually, I keep saying, and you do, I guess, technically work for SGPD, but you guys take calls from all over the county. It's not just St. George, right?
Right.
So that, how did that, do you have any idea how that worked out? I mean, is that the norm? If I were to go to, say, Utah County, would most of the calls go through Provo or Orem or their dispatch, or do you have any idea?
I think it's just depending on how their dispatch centers are set up. Mm-hmm. Some are county, some are city. It just depends.
Okay.
Every area is different.
Yep. Well, we're grateful that you're here and that you are taking the calls for the whole county. All right, we are short on time. We only have like 7 minutes now. Julie, do you have one that sticks out in your mind?
Oh, goodness. There's so many.
I know.
There's nothing we haven't heard, and then we say that.
And by the way, that number you gave me, hundreds of thousands of calls a year, right?
Yeah, I think they said we took around 250,000 calls last year in our center. So that's amazing. We're busy, especially with all the events coming in town and things like that. We're definitely busier than I think we've ever been.
Saturday, Marathon Saturday, do you get more calls? Do people call from the course? I'm having a heart attack because I'm running? And
sometimes, yeah. I've delivered a baby during Ironman once who couldn't get down SR18. She was stuck on a roadblock, and we got to help deliver a baby in her car 1 year. That was fun.
My friend's sister-in-law was going to run the half marathon this last week. She's 8.5 months pregnant, and they finally decided, we probably shouldn't.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably smart.
Anyway, all right, stories. Julie, do you have a story for us?
Oh, goodness. I don't even know. Like we said, we've heard it all. There's babies. There's traumatic incidents. One, I think people, like we said, we are trained for medical emergencies, and we do hands-on training, CPR and things like that. So one that it was just a personal experience. I was walking into work last November, and was probably 20 feet from my car, and a girl had overdosed on fentanyl and backed into my car, and she had two kids in the car, and she had a passenger who actually ended up being involved as well, and she just jumped out and said, she took something, call 911, and my first response was, I am 911, and that's my car, what happened? It's kind of the running joke in dispatch now. Yeah. But because we have those hands-on training, I was able to hurry and jump into action, and went and unlocked her car and pulled her out and started CPR while calling 911. And we were able to get her back and saved her life. So we do take the calls, but we also are taught hands-on some training and able to help assist with that. So that was just one personal experience that it brings it all together. Like I said, we are able to take the calls and tell people how to do it. And then we know how to do it in our own lives and community.
Very cool, Julie. How about you, Brayton?
Oh, man, I've only had a couple of years experience, so nothing, you know, I haven't quite heard everything yet as Julie has.
You'll get there. Don't worry.
Maybe one day. But I have had, you know, I've had my handful of traumatic calls as well. And, you know, people with mental health concerns, I feel like for whatever reason, I tend to attract more callers that are having some kind of mental health concern or, you know, something going on. And one that came to mind was of a gentleman who had locked himself in his parents' bathroom, and his mom had called in, concerned that he wasn't coming out. And while we were on the call, he lit his parents' garbage can on fire while in the bathroom and was trying to kill himself. And so I think trying to help calm down the mother was honestly the hardest part of that, while also trying to get everybody else there. It was just a difficult call. I think that was one of my first ones where I actually dealt with somebody that was having an active mental health crisis. And it kind of made it real for me right there in that moment. Yeah. That was one of my first ones. So
right at home. Yeah, for sure. All right. Anna Lee, do you have anything for us?
So one that comes to mind, it was a domestic violence call. This lady was, in an abusive relationship, and she had a 3-year-old child, and she gave me the information, gave me the address, and she said, but I can hurry and leave. And so I was able to stay on the phone with her. She put her phone in her pocket. She got her kid in the car, and they drove away from the residence. And then she was able to pick the phone back up and talk with me as she was driving to a safe location. So it was nice to know that I was there for her during this crazy, hectic situation and got her to a safe place where we could have somebody meet with her to handle the situation. So.
All right. Overriding message. We only have 2 minutes left now. Overriding message to the public, Anna Lee, about dispatch in St. George. What would it be? Tell people not to make silly calls, or tell people you're there for them? Or
we don't want to say don't make silly calls, because any call can be, you know, your worst day or something important to you. But just be patient with us. We are busier during this time of the year with phone calls and things like that. So there may be longer wait periods, things like that. So just have patience and know that we're doing everything we can to help you.
Is it possible I call 911 and nobody answers for a little while? It rings and rings and rings?
It may ring a few times, but we always put our non-emergencies on hold to make sure our 911s are answered. So they will always be answered I mean, obviously, if there's a big fire and you have 20 million people calling in, it may not get answered for a minute.
An extra second. Yeah. Usually it's under 20 seconds. Yep. Rarely, if ever, do you not get an answer on a 911 line quickly.
Brayton, I wanted to ask you real quick. Like I said, we're running out of time, but I've come across where I've seen maybe been the second or third car through after an accident. Yeah. I was already under the assumption that people in the accident or maybe someone else that was there before me already called you guys. Should I, if I'm the maybe the third person, fourth person through, call 911, or is that excessive?
I would say it can be excessive, but it's always nice to hear multiple callers call in the same incident because it actually confirms that the accident is there, it's at this location. So within reason, if you're the third or fourth person going through an accident, I would say, yeah, sure, call in just to make sure, because we like to make sure that we're going the right place.
All right, Julie, we'll finish with you. 13 years doing this, right? You said 13 years. Are we, as far as dispatch compared to the rest of the world, is St. George in good hands? Are we where we need to be?
We're exceeding expectations. Okay. And I'm not just saying that just because that's my center. We truly do have high expectations and we live up to them. I'm on actually a state board for dispatch. It's the National Emergency Number Association. So I deal with other agencies in Utah all day long and hear about their centers, and we are well above. Like I said, there's not a single person in our center that I wouldn't trust with my own life or my own emergency on any given day, or first responder, police, fire, medical. There's not a single person that I wouldn't trust every day.
That's so good to hear. With our growth, will that change? Will you guys have to scramble to keep up, do you think?
No. Annalie's got a great hiring process. We're in the process of hiring. We just closed applications, and we'll get a new group coming in to be trained. And we definitely are maintaining. Absolutely. We're busy, but we're maintaining and able to do so.
All right. Julie, thank you so much. Brayton, Annalie, appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
Very enlightening today. This is the Andy Griffin Show. I'll be back tomorrow. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Save big on all your Halloween needs, all in the Kroger app. Get juicy red, green, or black seedless grapes for 99 cents a pound. Then get tender USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.